Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Hey, buddy.
Hey.
It's warm out finally.
I know.
Have you been out on the boat?
So we,
I know that because
yeah, if you can't tell by the way I sound
like shit yesterday.
Yeah. So we got a little warm on Sunday. I say a little warm. It got to 71 on Sunday.
Dude, it's been cold and rainy. That's warm.
And
it's nice out.
We hit the lake. The water temp was 69.
That's what she said.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next time, right? That's 68.
Oh, the kids were on the boat.
Yeah. Little fuckers.
But yeah, did some surfing, did some
nice
little bit of fishing, caught no fish.
Yeah.
Not that our boat's designed for fishing, but
I'm probably due to take Grant out.
Yeah.
Probably real soon here.
Yeah.
Get to taking him out. Layla had a soccer tournament this weekend in fucking Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Man, it was fun. It was on grass. They won.
Oh, well.
So that's great.
That works.
You know. They killed it. They were awesome. We all know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Not all these people, but, you know, all of us. But it's like, man, you leave on Friday. I miss a golf tournament that I could have gone to for free.
Right.
We go up there. They have two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. We get back. Well, it wasn't that late. 7:30 on Sunday. She gets up, goes to school on Monday. She's texting Janine. I don't feel good. She'll do that once in a while, you know.
She overcooked her grits.
Janine never goes and gets her, though. She's right. Like, I'm going to go get her. So she goes and gets her, and I'm like, she's kind of sick. I take her to practice last night. Dude, last night, 11:30, midnight, she comes in, 101 fever.
I'm yeah.
God dang it, man.
Coming on.
She smoked. I know it's just because, you know this, when you overwork and you over-agitate, and your immune system goes down, you're traveling on the road, you just get sick, and she's fucking sick.
Yep.
So the worst part is she's got strings concert tonight. She didn't go to school, has a fever, and we're not going to take her to that.
No.
Her teacher's like, well, that'll affect her grade. I'm like, what do you mean that'll affect her grade?
Yeah.
She's a 4-2 student.
And
she practices every night of the week and the weekends, and she's literally sick. Like, what do you want me to do,
I'm pretty sure you can't attend the extracurricular event if you are absent that day in school.
You know what? You're probably right about that.
I'm pretty sure, like, that's a requirement to attend.
I will say this about the Lee Summit School District. I have never had an issue with the way they handle our kid, any issue. Like, we've never had any issues. Her teachers have been great. No problems. She's a good kid. You know, I've been looking for an opportunity to chew some ass for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this might be my one chance to be like, go in there and, like, hey.
Grant's teacher will bluff with the whole little affect their grade thing. And then, because they don't want people blowing it off. And then if they are actually sick, then they have to do the whole they have to record all the songs that they were going to do in the concert. They have to record it by themselves and then send it to the teacher to get credit.
Well, first off, Janine records her playing all the time because she sends it to her folks.
Right.
That shit's already recorded.
Yeah. Like Grant's thing, like all of his... Like
Grant's a good musician, too.
Yeah. No,
I think he could be good one day.
He's real good. But he, they have like an app that they record it on and everything.
Yeah.
So
is it a Mojo? Is it a Mojo app or is it?
Sounds familiar.
I can't remember.
It's all on a school device.
I don't remember what the Blue Springs one is.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I've been bluffing for years that I'm going to get him a drum set. One of these days, you're going to be like, what the fuck?
His concert was last night.
Oh, he had one last night?
Uh-huh.
It
is so cool to watch him because like some of the songs they play, because in percussion they bounce the kids around every song.
Yeah, of course.
And some of the songs he plays, it's hard to like single him out.
Unless just he's depending on snare drum,
right?
Pop him, snare snapper.
Yeah, snare drum, timpani, you know, things like that. He's good, but when he gets on anything bells. They've got like four or five bells players, so it's hard to
yeah hard to single him out. Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty cool to watch him. So it's my dream to listen to him play quads in high school. So we'll see.
You're still stuck on the quads thing. You know,
I know. They sound cool.
This is going to sound completely selfish, but if he gets a drum set, I'm going to bring my amp and guitar over here and be like, hey, dude,
jam out.
Let's jam out, man. Yeah. Let's fucking jam out.
Party it on.
I'll love it.
He'd do it.
Of course he would.
He'd do it.
Ah, he's a good kid.
Yeah.
How's Mason's lawn mowing going?
It's going. He's still using my truck a lot because his truck's got that vacuum leak.
Still no fix?
Well, it's a vacuum leak that's going to require a smoke test machine.
Oh.
So it's not leaking from anywhere we can find, but they're notorious for having upper and lower intake manifold gaskets go bad. So
that's not that bad a fix, though. It's not fun, but it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad. It's just a timing thing to get it. So, and I don't mind if he drives a Lightning because it's extra branding for the company. So,
how much was that truck he bought? I don't remember.
About $5,000.
Ugh, yeah, it's too much to throw away, but not enough to.
Oh, it ain't a throwaway by no means.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it was $1,500, you could just be like, fuck it.
We just got to get it to where it drives around town just fine. But on the highway with the mower in the back, you're at like 3/4 throttle just to go 65 miles an hour.
Get that kid a freaking trailer, man.
Nah.
Dude.
I don't want to have to store a trailer. I don't want anything like that.
You know, I've got a really big trailer. Like, it's big enough to haul like a track machine on. I'd let him use it, but it's too big for that truck of his.
Yeah.
But if you bought him that blue and white is it a 250?
No, we're not even going to bring that up. That's,
you know,
$25,000 truck.
First off, just because the guy wants 25 don't mean it's worth 25. That truck's worth 15. Second off, when we're done with this, I'm going to tell him about it. I forgot until right now. It's a good-looking truck.
He'll say, I don't have that kind of money.
And I'm going to say, I'll loan it to you for 2%.
Yeah. Nope. So he just found out what insurance costs for him, and he's like, $100 a month.
Yeah. Wait till he gets that personal property tax bill. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to work yet.
God. He's going to panic. Although personal property on that is going to be cheaper than his insurance.
He gets into the summer where he can start doing a lot more yards. He'll be real good.
Yeah.
He'll be real good.
I've said this on the podcast. I tag him and you, like on
those mowing things.
But I'm this close to like when I see people like calling them and saying, hey, I know somebody. Hey, yeah. I know. And just like
blowing
his schedule up.
I don't know
how he would handle it.
He already knows. Like, he can play the sympathy card on those groups, and he'll go, hey, he'll make a post that says, hey, my name's Mason. I'm 16. I've been mowing yards for 6 years. And he'll like put a post up, like a picture of when he was 10. Mowing yards.
Oh, in the yard tractor?
Yeah, and he'll say, like, now that I'm 16, I've got mobility, so I'm expanding the operation out of the neighborhood and to the whole city. I've got room for 10 more clients, is what he'll say. And he'll get bombed with 40 messages.
Yeah.
And all he has to do is just say that. You put a scarcity, you know, a limit on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And
supply and demand.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not only 10? I'd love to help this kid. Boom.
But he wants to get weekly mowing things, and a lot of times on those things, it's a one-time thing.
Yeah, they are a lot of one-times. And instead of weeklies, like when it goes down, like when after May, it'll be 10-day schedule.
Yeah.
Makes it more flexible for him, too.
Yep.
But he'll be out of school by then. I guess it really won't matter.
Yep.
But, yeah, maybe I start a lawn mowing company and be like, hey, Mace, for 5%, you take it.
Yeah.
And I'll just sell all the jobs.
Sell it to him.
I'll buy him one of those trucks where you like drive the mowers on. It's just a big giant.
Oh, just a flatbed.
It's
utility truck.
They're weird.
Yeah.
It's like they're made just for lawn mowing
businesses.
I know
what you're
talking about. Like they're flat and then they go down and then the tailgate finishes the ramp.
Yep.
Be like, here you go, buddy. It's outfitted and ready to roll. Just keep it at the house.
Yep. I bet the neighborhood would love that.
My neighborhood? No.
Yeah.
You keep it
at your
house. Yeah. My house is 3 minutes from here.
Yep. It's close.
It's close. Too close. I shouldn't say that. I love that it's close.
He'll be all right.
He's going to be just fine.
He's going to be
a go-getter.
It'll be fun to see him mow all summer instead of work with us. Like some dads, I think, if your dad owns a company, the dad like convinces themselves that my kid should work for me. And I'm kind of the opposite. I'm like, if you want to work for me, great. But I'm not going to push it one way or the other. And if, like, I know you'll make more money mowing yards this summer than working for me because I only pay $15 an hour.
Well, and let's be honest, like, what's more scalable?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. And like, learning,
like, what
learning leadership from your dad on the job is very difficult.
Yeah.
Learning leadership from your dad while he's mentoring you through your own mowing company, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the route we're going.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that.
So
it'll be interesting to see his path.
Yeah.
Because he's a go-getter, and I just, all my friends that I'm close with that have kids, like, I don't think that, oh, I'm basically their side dad or whatever, but I do take serious interest in what they do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's just my personality or what, but I want to see them all do well, and I want to see what happens and, you know, where they go. And it's just, it's like another interesting aspect of life.
Right.
As you get older, you know?
Right.
It'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be cool to see what he does.
Yep.
So I'd like to have him mow my yard so I don't have to, but
your yard's huge.
It's he'd be wanting to charge me $200.
He's got a 3-acre yard that he charges $100 for.
Would that be about the same?
Yeah. Theirs is all nice finished. Well, you know, on Woods Chapel Road?
Yeah.
You go by Lake Tapawingo, you go across the railroad tracks.
Okay.
The first house on the right.
North of the railroad tracks
north
or south?
North of the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
On the east side of Woods Chapel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With the big pool in the backyard, yeah, and everything.
Very nice yard.
Yeah, that's the grandparents of his mowing buddy, the guy that he's partners with.
Oh, gotcha.
And so they do that yard for $100 a week.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I told him that's a prominent location. He needs to put a sign in that yard.
Yeah. Will they let him? Has he got some signs?
They will. There's no point doing it until school's out.
I mean, so, he's got like 2 weeks. Is it 3 weeks?
Yeah, probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks?
Yeah. But that stuff comes on so fast. He could just put a sign out there in 3 weeks and be good.
Oh, yeah. You're probably right.
So.
Mowing season. What do you want to talk about, dude?
Today, we're going to talk about being brave enough to suck at something new.
Bum, bum, bum. Story of my life.
This is how we grow, right?
Yeah, 18 years old, meet a girl. I'm going to suck at this, but I'm going to try.
So, ironically, we're doing our first waterline slitting job today.
And oh, yeah. The one you told me was a complete fucking train wreck?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so, in that train wreck, like, we've never done waterline slitting. And I mean, if you're going to go big or go home, right? And so we decided to apparently try the most difficult waterline slitting job ever.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, look at the photo I just got texted.
Let me see. You're going to have to send me this. I'm going to have to flash it up on the screen. You realize that, right?
That's the cable ripped in half. So
is this the cable that I told you is probably going to get ripped in half, or is that the machine cable?
This is the pulling cable.
Is that's not the F-350 winch cable?
No, that's okay, not my winch cable. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, that's
not good.
That job's going to shit. But that's kind of part of it. Like, do we want jobs to go to shit? Absolutely not. But if we look back at the first time we did anything, God, we were horrible at it. Right?
Oh, man.
I can remember the first time I augered a drain. Like, it took me forever. I got the cable wrapped up in my arm. Like,
Really?
Oh, yeah. I made a mess everywhere.
Did it fuck you up?
No. It just spun up on my arm. But, you know, and now I could go, like, auger drains blind. Like, literally blindfolded and just do it by feel and be fine. And so a lot of times as we age, it's so wild as we get older, our comfort zone gets so big and our area for risk gets so small that we're afraid to try new shit.
Yeah.
And
that's just part of the path, I think.
Well, I think some of it's the path. I think some of it's just as you develop, your risk meter becomes a lot more sensitive. And so you view things as riskier than they actually are. This is like where knowledge actually hurts you.
Yeah.
Like, really intelligent people usually don't start businesses. They're so intelligent, they think they see all the areas of risk, and that stops them from taking on the risk. Whereas some of the most successful business owners and most successful entrepreneurs are actually not the most intelligent. In other words, they know enough how to do it, but they don't know enough to see all the risk, and so they just charge into it without seeing risk.
Yeah.
And
100%.
And how they do it is the same as the super intelligent person. It's just the super intelligent person is freaking out and anxiety ridden the whole time. And the other guy, like, ignorance is bliss, and he's just trucking along.
Yeah.
Just doesn't know any better.
Yeah. And it's a weird thing too, because like Elon Musk is one of the smartest guys on the planet mm-hmm. and isn't afraid to do anything.
Yeah.
And he knows the risks.
Yeah.
His thing is, I just don't care. I don't care what the risks are. It doesn't really matter. Well, because I know, like, he's past the point of, I know I'm smart enough that regardless of what happens to this, I'm going to be able to overtake it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's like a up and down in intelligence. It's like, oh, I'm so smart. Even if I fuck this all up, the next thing, it's going to take off.
Yeah.
I'm going to have more ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very weird thing to think about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So like with this waterline slitting thing, I mean, we're in the throes of it right now. We started the job yesterday.
It's only funny because it's not me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, it's me because it's my company, but it's also my guys getting to learn firsthand. So I enjoy that part, right? Do I enjoy footing the bill for their knowledge and for their fuck ups? No.
Do they make money on that job regardless?
Kind of. It's confusing. When jobs go south, it gets to be interesting.
Yeah, I know. That's why I ask. It's an interesting topic of conversation.
Yeah. But like, I can remember my first time doing a pipe burst sewer replacement. Well, my first residential sewer replacement. My very first ever residential sewer replacement.
God, when would that have even been?
It would have been 2007.
Oh my God.
They sent me out to a job, said everything you need's already out there. It's a conventional dig from the house diagonal across the driveway into the sewer tap on our side of the street.
Okay.
It's already saw cut. It's already lifted out and everything. Well, they have a full-blown backhoe, full-size backhoe.
Okay.
Like a Cat 316 or something like that.
Yeah.
Way too big for a residential neighborhood sewer replacement, right? Because that's the right tool for a new install.
Yeah.
But that's not the right tool for a sewer replacement.
When you want to move a lot of dirt really fast because it's new and there's nothing out there.
Right. You don't have gutters on the house that you have to worry about. You don't have trees that you have to worry about. Like, none of that stuff's in yet.
How much seat time do you think you had at this point?
Oh, I mean, a fair amount. Because I had done a lot of excavation and operation work.
Okay.
But the machine was just too big. And so I weasel this machine up into their yard. And literally the first scoop, I'm reaching towards the house with the bucket. The first scoop snags the hydraulic lines that run up over the knuckle, snagged it on a tree limb, ripped them clean off the machine.
I think you've told me about this before.
Yeah, the whole machine goes limp. It sprays the house and the yard with hydraulic fluid, and we're down for 4 hours waiting for Cat to come fix it.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, great, that sucks. But, I mean, I'm brave enough to suck at something new, right? And so
get this bitch fixed. I'm ready to dig another hole.
Yeah, I'm all like... mad I'm gonna get fired or whatever,
yeah,
but the boss is cool.
26 at this time probably.
And so then I think it's probably 26 or 28. So then after that we get the sewer done, and the job was sold with vibration compaction. So you got a vibrating compactor that attaches to the backhoe, powers off the hydraulics, shakes all the dirt down. So I'm looking at the compactor, and it says in white paint marker, it says not with thumb. And I didn't know what that meant. And so I hook it up to the backhoe, and I curl it. Like, those things are super heavy. They weigh about 1,500 pounds.
Yeah.
And so I curl it up behind the backhoe so I don't wheelie around everywhere. And as soon as I curl it in, pop, all the hydraulic lines break off the vibrating compactor, and it hoses down the entire street with hydraulic fluid. Turns out what not with thumb meant that it should not be attached on a machine with a thumb.
Yeah.
Because the thumb hits right where those hoses are. And if you curl it in, you snap your hoses off. And so now, same job. We're down and out for another 4 hours. We've now hosed.
This is day two?
This is probably day three at this point. we've now hosed the house, the yard, and the street with hydraulic fluid.
Nice.
So like the
neighborhood.
Everything's shiny. Yeah, the neighborhood's loving us. The neighbor, like the customer, is loving us, right? My boss is just tickled pink. But I went on. So even after getting a rough start like that at a company, I went on to be, and to this day, still am their leading sewer salesperson. I still talk with those guys.
Do you really?
Yeah, they've never sold as many sewers as they did as when I worked there.
Bitch.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/thevoid or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
And so I started their sewer replacement division. I sold their sewers. I trained the crews and everything. It all started with being brave enough to suck at something new.
Yeah. Right?
Our first podcast. If you guys want to, you guys want something really funny.
If you guys want to be like completely turned off by this podcast.
Yeah.
Watch the first few episodes.
So here's what's crazy, and a lot of people don't know this. Man.
They're awful.
Our
first two podcasts, wasn't it?
Our first three.
Was it three?
Our first three podcasts, nobody's ever heard, not even us. Because we did a marathon recording one night. We recorded all three. We had a novice videographer at the time. They forgot to hit record.
Did
apparently.
We do three?
We did three that night.
I don't remember.
We lost them all.
I know.
And so there was right. There was like 5 hours of my time, your time, and the videographer's time gone.
Gone.
And we had to re-record everything.
And this is when we did them at night.
Yeah.
So it was like five. And we didn't get done till like midnight, 12:31. And both of us are getting up and going to work the next day.
Yep.
Like, oh man, we got shit to do. Let's get after it.
And so
man, it's weird to think that was only 3 years ago.
Yeah.
God, well,
so
like
then
a lifetime ago.
So then it like if you want to go back and listen to episode one, that's our first published podcast. It would be like it's technically our fourth podcast because the first three didn't get recorded.
Yeah. No one's
and so like again, even with this podcast, brave enough to suck at something new.
And let's talk about brave enough to suck at something new. After listening to those first podcasts, knowing they sucked, having the gumption to be like, nope, we're gonna keep going.
Yep.
We're gonna keep going. Yeah. After number 12, these aren't much better.
Right.
Keep going.
Yeah.
After 100, keep going.
Now we're knocking on the door 200.
We are at, today is 193, bud.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do for 200, but maybe we'll.
I don't know.
Maybe we'll do something.
Have to figure something out.
Maybe I'll, I don't know.
But ultimately, like, if they're, Tyler, the guy that owns the gym that I work out at, he had this poster hanging in his gym all the time that said, if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. And that's kind of along the same lines, like be brave enough to suck at something new. Doing new things is challenging. And if we don't know how to overcome challenges, then we're forever the same person every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine going through life and 5 years from now being the same person I am today. Like to me, that's a waste of 5 years.
You know, it's weird. People will do that, though. They will literally be stuck in the same apartment,
yeah,
doing the same job, bitching and moaning, carrying on, complaining, but they'll do it for 10 years without changing. Why? Because they're scared to try something new.
Well,
that's really why, I think.
Some of it's that, but also being in America, it makes it very easy to get comfortable. Even on a poverty level, there are people that are comfortable in poverty.
Yeah, you can't be 400 pounds and not be comfortable.
Right.
You're eating well.
Right. Right. You look at the obesity rate, and it just says right there that we are very comfortable with food and at least our finances enough to provide food, right?
Yeah.
Now there's still, you know, foreclosure problems. There's still back rent problems. There's still child support problems and bankruptcy problems and all this stuff.
Yeah, but those motherfuckers can eat.
But they can eat, right?
They can eat.
And so even... like you go down to the institutional level. So let's say poverty and like prisons. You know, there are people that actually thrive in those environments. They figured it out. They figured out how to get the check. They figured out how to get as much out of the system as they can. They figured out the meal schedule. They figured out the yard schedule in prison. They figured out their clique or their associates or whoever, right?
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work. And so once you've put in all that work, you're kind of like, well, I don't want to go find new friends. It took me so much time and effort to get these. But then you put yourself in a position where you might be in the exact same position 5 years from now as you are today. And there's a common thing there. You know, there's a lot of like kind of bullshit quotes that get tossed around a lot in the entrepreneur circuit. And one of them is, you know, them. And it's a quote that says like, you've changed.
me. You're right. That's the point.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, okay, yeah, it's kind of a bullshit thing.
First off, it's super cliche, but it's true.
Well, and a lot of it is because people do change, but they don't change for the better. But they're trying to mask their change for the worse as I'm growing and developing.
Yeah.
And in other words, like, money amplifies who you already are. And so...
It can if you're not humble.
Yeah. If you're a piece of shit, you're going to be a bigger piece of shit with money.
Yeah.
If you are a guy that likes nice things and likes their style and likes dressing, like your thing is just
looking good, baby.
Looking good, right? Yeah. The suit's on point, the shoes are on point, the belt's on point, like fashion is your jam. Well, when you have money, fashion's still going to be your jam. It's just going to be higher end fashion.
Yeah.
Right? If you're the guy who likes wrenching on old cars, when you have money, you're just going to have more old cars. They're probably not going to get any nicer.
Are you talking about me?
Maybe.
I do like wrenching on shit.
Yeah.
I just do. I like it.
Yeah. If you're a guy that likes ultra nice things in when you lived in your one garage house.
All right. So you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information into one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
But you made your garage like an awesome, well-decorated man cave, and you put shelving and the checkerboard floor in there,
looking
and you really
good,
took pride
baby.
Of your garage space. Well, then when you have money, you're going to have a three-car garage with a lift in it that's still going to be decorated nice. And everything. Like money just amplifies who you already are, right?
It can,
And so as you're growing and developing through life, if you don't learn to embrace change and embrace challenge, then as you get more successful, that's going to diminish really quick, right?
Yeah.
Take Elon, for example.
Where are you going with this?
Look at like SpaceX.
Oh, okay.
His thing is like, we figure it out and we don't give up until we figure it out, right? And so
we will go broke or make it happen.
Right. When he was trying to get rockets off the ground, he was like, this is the last rocket launch. If we don't make this, we're going bankrupt. And the rocket blew up. And he's like, okay, I may have overstated my position a little bit. I can possibly scrounge up enough money for one more launch. But I said it last time, and I mean it this time. If this next launch doesn't go, like, we are literally sunk. We're out of money.
You are all...
We've tapped all resources.
Broke.
Yeah. And the last one went. They finally got it.
Yeah.
And that was the pivotal moment for SpaceX. And they've been... skyrocketing ever since.
Let me ask you a question. This is completely off topic. Do you think that Katy Perry and all those dipshits went to space?
I'll say this. If 3 minutes in space makes Katy Perry an astronaut, then I'm a fucking gynecologist.
I've seen that before. That is...
No, I honestly, I think they went to inner space. I don't think they went to outer space. I don't think they left the atmosphere. I don't think they left gravity. I think they were in the balance of gravity. To where,
so like when it goes up and peaks, they float off the floor and then it kind of goes and then drops back off and then they're...
Yeah, I think they were far enough away where gravity got light. I think the ship was, or the little capsule thing was moving fast enough that centrifugal force is pulling you away from the Earth, or you're in that limbo period.
More G's than gravity, or anti-G's instead of gravity.
Yeah, so like those zero gravity plane flights where they just go up real high and then they just do like a long arc to make you float.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's kind of what they were doing.
Yeah.
And I think honestly what the lack of gravity that they were feeling was that everything was in free fall back to Earth.
Could be.
And I think that's where you were seeing a lot of the anti-zero gravity stuff.
Do you think it's complete bullshit that people in California have to drink out of paper straws and then those fucks were burning CO2 for publicity and to make money?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a...
Like, how can you be a libtard and be like, oh, anti-government, anti-gasoline, anti-everything, and you literally doubled the amount of CO2 produced by Cal. I don't know what the numbers are, but like 2 months by just going up there for 3 minutes or whatever the fuck they were up, and then you're going to be up in arms when I have a plastic fucking straw.
Right.
Like,
because
I believe,
one sea turtle had it in his nose.
Yeah. Well, first off, I think we should get rid of plastic. I think it's horrible. I think we should just go glass and aluminum. But it's like, how can you be completely up in arms and a complete psycho about everything and then be like, nope, we're burning some motherfucking dinosaurs here. We are going to space, baby.
Because it's rules for thee and not for me.
Yeah.
I saw something today,
hey,
speaking of weird bullshit in California. I'm in a couple of wakeboarding, like wake surfing groups on Facebook. And
of course you are.
One of these groups, there was a post today, apparently California's got some new regulation where if you're going to move your boat from one body of water to another, it has to quarantine for 30 days out of water, or it has to go through like a quarantine station to where it's sanitized.
Yeah.
They're trying to, probably something like zebra mussels or something, they're trying to keep.
We've got zebra mussels here, and they're in just every lake. Like,
yeah.
Why don't you just figure out a way to get rid of them? Because there's nothing we could do here.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Like, I would move. If you're a guy that wants to take, like, we don't have our boat on a slip, like, we have it on a trailer because we like being mobile. Maybe one time I want to go to this lake. Maybe one time I want to go to that lake.
Well, if you're, I know, like, Havasu isn't in California, but if you want to go out there and go in, they don't have, like, you can't store your boat on that lake.
Yeah.
I can't store my boat on Blue Springs Lake.
Right.
There's, like, 27 slips.
Yeah.
I can't store my.
Well, so, like, the way it is in California is once it's green lighted for a lake, there's no quarantine as long as it only goes to that lake. But they have like a full-blown check. It's not like our lakes here where you just pull up and drop your boat in and park.
Yeah.
Like they have a full-blown check station. You can't get on the lake without talking to a human.
I don't.
And them verifying your paperwork and all of this stuff. And it's like,
How much red tape do you want in your life, man?
Right.
I don't get it.
I don't know how the people out there don't see through it. Maybe they've just grown up out there and that's all they've ever known. And they think, oh, the Midwest really, like, I know everyone says the Midwest is easier to live in, but they can't be that much easier.
Hey, for all of you listening, the Midwest is fucking fantastic. But if you're in California, fucking stay there.
Yeah.
Don't come here and fuck up our state too.
Yeah. If you're going to come here, just don't vote like you did in California. Like, don't vote to the same things that got you into the problems in California.
Those poor people in Idaho, like, they literally, like, were making public statements. Hey, look, you came from California because it sucked, and then you came up here to Idaho, and then you want to vote for the same stuff so that you can have California again?
Right.
Like, how stupid do you got to fucking be?
Yeah, you went from California 7.0 to California 1.0.
It's so dumb. And, you know, around here, like, I don't know, we'll get back on topic, but, like, we have Smithville Lake, mm-hmm. Blue Springs, Jacomo, Truman, like, all within, from the furthest to the other is, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, I've got three lakes that I could put my boat on within an hour from here.
Yeah, it's great.
I mean, there's plenty more lakes than that, but not that are going to let you do a wake boat.
Yeah.
Right?
But we like to fish, like Joe and I like to fish different lakes at different times of the year.
Yeah.
Like you can just, it's nothing. You just go pop it in and go, man.
Yeah, I expand that out to an hour and 20 minutes, and now I've got like 10 lakes.
Yeah.
So.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Maybe we should just put walls up at around Missouri and be like, don't come here.
Yeah, get out of here.
Get the fuck out of here. This is our shit.
Catapults and churros.
Keep bringing that up.
You have to go back to an early episode for that joke. But
what's the matter with you?
Weight loss, for example. You're gonna suck at weight loss if you decide you want to lose weight. You're gonna suck at it for a while. Like
Your muscles are not just gonna turn on and you're gonna be able to burn 1,000 calories. You're gonna have to work up to it.
Well, and even learning your diet, like. Like to lose weight, you actually have to educate yourself a little bit on like macronutrients and micronutrients and all of this stuff. But I can promise you that the results are worth the effort.
Yeah.
And so like at that point, put in the work and learn the macros and then everything. Like I can remember when I started getting big into fitness about 3 years ago. I literally went to a post and I'm like, all right, make fun of me all you want. You guys are talking macros.
I said,
what the fuck is a macro? Like, I didn't know. Now I do, right? But, you know, all these people are counting calories and counting carbs and counting macros and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, is macro like short for macaroon? Because I don't think those are on our diet. Like I just
macaroon. Have you ever even eaten a macaroon?
Yeah.
Really?
Those are good.
They're okay.
And they're sweet.
They're all right.
It's like a big, giant, fluffy Oreo.
They're all right. I mean, on the weight loss and weight gain thing, that's just, you got to learn your body, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
My body, it is hard for me to put on weight.
Mm. It's like, hard for anybody to put on the right kind of weight.
I can't even put on the wrong kind of weight. My body just is like, nope. Yep. It's like when I take on, like if I eat a ton of carbs and some fat and a little bit of protein, like my body says, nope. And it will like, it's almost like it changes its metabolic rate to burn the excess that I've taken in. It's crazy. But if I eat super lean animal protein and take on like 200 grams, I can put weight on consistently. You know what I mean? Like I had to learn that about myself.
Right.
Like literally, this was like a month ago. I was trying to put on 15 pounds. I put on almost 10, got sick, lost 10. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to do this and this and this and this and this like I was doing before.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't put it on.
Yeah.
And I had to learn like, okay, what was I doing before?
Right.
Oh, I was eating tons of eggs, tons of chicken, not a lot of carbs, and as much like extra fat as I could in my red meat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was able to put, literally, I was able to put 6 pounds on in like a week and a half.
Right.
Okay. I learned that in order for me to put on weight, I have to stick to this very, very specific diet or I can't do it.
Right.
It's something about carbs. I can't, if I eat a bunch of carbs, my body doesn't care. It's like, nope, we're burning that shit off. It ain't worth it.
Yeah. Everybody's going to metabolize that stuff at different rates. And so, yeah, there's a lot of learning with your body, but
I can hear people now, why did you go to a nutritionist? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's 10 pounds. Okay. I can figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and like even that, you can either challenge yourself by figuring it out on your own, or you can replace, sometimes you can speed up the challenge with money.
Yeah.
And
coaching.
Yeah. Right. So like you can pay somebody who already knows all this stuff and you can exchange money for their knowledge. And that's the first portion of the challenge is getting the right knowledge. The other part of the challenge is sticking to the diet, sticking to your gym routine.
Yeah.
Saying no to the extra cupcake or whatever the case may be, right?
I love you chose cupcake.
Yeah. But
this makes me laugh.
You know, like fitness is a perfect example of the fact that if it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you. Because like you're literally watching a change in your body. You're watching yourself go down in weight or down in body fat or up in weight or up in muscle or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's at a direct result of your effort, right? And so like if you're hell-bent on wanting to get in shape, then, you know, be brave enough to suck at something new. Your first few gym routines, you're going to suck. Your first few rounds at the diet, you're going to suck. Like your first few times, like for me, I'm not much of a cook. I had to learn how to cook my own food because when I'm on my super strict diet, like I'm eating different stuff than what the family's eating, right?
Yeah.
You know, our first pipe burst for a sewer replacement, like we sucked. It probably took us 5 days to do that first one.
Yeah, I think it did take you 5 days.
And then we get them all the way down to where we can do them in a day.
Yeah.
You know, there's just all the times where like guys are afraid to suck, and it's like no, like. Poor performance is not sucking. Poor performance means you knew how to do better, you just didn't do it. Sucking is like, I didn't know any better. Right? Yeah.
I think a lot of the time, too, guys are, they feel like it's a waste of time. I don't want to challenge anything. I don't want to do anything new because it's a waste of time if I'm not going to be perfect at it out of the gate.
Right.
You just have to get past that. You're not going to be perfect at it, and who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to take the training or pay for the coaching or do whatever, you've got to just suck at it and give yourself the education through failure.
Yeah.
That's just what it is, man.
So, like, one of my guys was working on a power vent water heater 2 weeks ago, and he called me, and he was like, hey, I really fumbled a whole lot on trying to diagnose this power vent water heater. Because we just don't run into them very often. It's the first one I've run into since I've worked here. we don't have a ton of power vents here.
No, not a lot.
And
they were popular. They were very popular, like
late 80s,
2005,
early 90s,
2010.
Probably late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah.
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 Because like when we first started, like that was, it was either 80% or power vent.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. And so we don't run into them a ton. And so he's asking like, hey, can we do a training in the shop to learn how to work on these? Or can we, like, is there somewhere where we can be sent to go train on these and all this stuff? And I asked him, I'm like, why? He goes, well, I want to be better at it. I don't want to suck so hard next time. And I'm like, yeah, but look at it this way. Let's say I send you to a 2-day training class plus travel days. That's 4 days out of the shop, right? 4 days off work. You've only run into these once since you've worked here. And you've said you've been trained on them before, but it's been so long that you forgot.
Yeah.
So at that point, what's the point in like off-site training?
Four-day training and you don't run into one for 4 years.
Right. I said the better way to do it is to embrace a challenge, be brave enough to suck at something new, and when you come across one in the field, there's your training.
Yeah.
Don't treat it as a trial by fire, I'm going to be lucky to make it out of this thing.
Hey boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
Train.
Yeah.
Like, what do they do in training? They teach you the basics. They teach you some troubleshooting. They teach you a little bit advanced theory on things. Do it. You know the basics, right? It needs gas. It needs air. It needs a signal to turn on.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. It's got a light.
90% of the time, the flue is plugged.
Right.
And it's either causing the pressure switch to be bad or...
Right.
It's plugged.
And so, but then once you get it, like once you figure it out, go train some more. Like unplug a pressure switch. And see, it's like, what does it happen when the intake pressure switch goes bad? What happens when the exhaust pressure switch goes bad?
Yeah.
You know, go plug the flue and see what happens with it and let it code out. Like, those are all opportunities to train on the job and actually get paid for it.
Yeah. Our biggest thing was guys were afraid to jumper shit. Yeah. So in the HVAC space, like I literally, like they sold jumper wire kits at Train O'Connor.
Yep.
And it was... a pack of 10, they were all color coordinated. It was just alligator clips.
Yeah.
And you just bypassed
shit. I've got them in my multimeter. Yeah.
Okay, click this, click this, click this. Well, did it come on? No. Well, then none of those are the problem.
Right.
Next bypass set. Like, and you would just literally go through it. Man, you did that for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah.
You knew everything there was to know about a gas-fired furnace.
Yep.
Did you maybe smoke a board? Yeah. Did you smoke a transformer? Most of the time it was a transformer, but who cares?
We always called that letting the smoke out.
Yeah.
Each control board has a little bit of smoke in it. And if you let it out, it's done.
Yeah,
it won't work right.
We called it smelling the ozone.
Yeah, there you go.
Because when you burned a control board, like you're like, yep.
Yep.
That's a little ozone.
That's
the
cooked.
Plastics burn on the back of that thing. And then you pull it off the, like, you know, it's a control board and it's just clipped to a piece of metal. You pull it off and there's like one little black spot. Up. Oh,
yeah.
There it was. Got it.
So the other day, Grant's got a buddy over.
Smoked that fool.
And we've got one of those Red Ryder BB guns. You know, it's like the lever.
Click, click, but a spring.
Yeah, it's a lever action spring loaded BB gun.
You can
watch the BBs come out of the end of it.
Yeah, it'll still put your eye out.
It's probably shooting at 600 feet per second, maybe. Maybe not even that much.
Yeah, yeah.
So the other boys were like, well, this breaks skin. And I'm like, not if you're 10 feet away or more, probably not. And so they were like, cool, that's all we needed. So they go outside and they're shooting each other with it.
Oh, my God.
And they were doing like this pace challenge where they stood like 20 paces away.
And then whoever bitched as you got closer. No,
yeah, they each shot each other and then they step closer and they each shoot each other and step closer.
Were they wearing goggles at least?
No, God, no.
Oh, of course not.
But
Danielle's, I don't want to say you're a bad parent, but I mean, I don't know what other words to use.
Yeah. Danielle's like, are we okay with this? I'm like, yeah, we're raising motherfuckers. That right there. That's how you raise a motherfucker.
You don't want to raise. I mean, you do, but you don't.
He's brave enough to suck at something new.
Hey, this BB gun didn't hurt my buddy. I wonder if this 22 will.
Right.
Like, yeah, there's a gray line there, man. You got to be careful.
Yeah.
And that Grant is crazy enough to fucking try it.
They know to not even do it with a Gammo gun.
Dude, that gamma gun will fuck you up.
Well,
it'll bury that lead in you, and then they got to go get it.
Yeah, well, and they see what it does to squirrels. So, I mean, the Red Ryder BB gun, the squirrels, like, grab the BB midair and throw it back at you and give you the bird.
I'm just saying they may not be above putting on six layers and seeing if it'll stop the gamma gun. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, Mitch.
Boys are going
to
be boys.
Maybe it's time to reevaluate.
Nah.
But, I come in here last week and you got a goddamn water gun down there that shoots little blue fucking pellets.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, Orbeez gun.
Man.
I lit Danielle up with that today. She was bent over. I popped her in the ass with it.
She was mad last week.
Yeah.
Like, that thing's fucking stupid. Leaves the shit all over the house.
That's because I didn't light her ass up last week. I got to keep her in line better.
Have you forgot about the M80s I gave you?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm waiting for a video. I'm just waiting for something. I know you're not going to do one in the house.
Mother's Day is on Sunday. I got to figure out
I'm
going to
tell you
there.
Right now, do not light any of those off in the house.
No. No, that's not going to go under the bathroom door.
Dude, it'll blow the windows out of the house.
Yeah. No, those are outdoor only, maybe Lake of the Ozarks. I don't know.
The goddamn dog. You know, I love my dog. I hate my dog more than I love my dog. I wish that we could get rid of it. That thing will get out sometimes and just run off. This was 3 days ago. Right. No, Friday, before we left. I was like, I'm going to let the dog out. Dog's going out crazy. We're trying to leave. Dog won't come back. Dog won't come back. Dog come but won't come back. You throw an M80 out there and scare the dog fuck out of that dog.
Yep.
Dog fuck out of that dog. You scare the shit out of that dog. Arr, 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 arr. Here it comes, dude. Right into the house.
Yeah.
I thought about you. I was like, I wonder if Mitch has lit any of those M80s in a while.
Nope.
Man.
No, I haven't yet.
No, they're fantastic. We'll do something.
I will.
Let's blow something up.
But ultimately, we see this with our Tradewinds members. We see this with everybody where you start driving into their resistance of doing anything, and they're just afraid to suck at something new.
Anything new.
Yeah.
Anything new.
So we have a member that I've been chatting with today, and I'm not going to say who they are because this situation's not resolved yet, but they're fighting a very real challenge that all business owners fight, and that is that their employees think the business charges too much. And so the employees are saying, like, I feel like we're ripping customers off and I can't do that. And so I'm working with this Tradewinds member about it. And I said, you know, have you ever shown finances to them on how much money the company makes or doesn't make?
My initial response was, show them that P&L.
Right.
We'll see where the fuck that money goes.
And they said, well, then they'd find out how much I make. And I said, well, how much do you make? And they said $72,000 a year. And I'm like, well, how much do your plumbers make? And she gave me the hourly rates and we work it all up and it's like $68,000 a year. And I'm like, okay, so let's think about this here. The owner makes $4,000 than the employees, but the owner foots all the risk, has all the creativity, and has everything out there.
Yeah, and all the risk, all the everything.
And so it's like they could totally understand that the owner's going to make $4,000 more than they do. Like,
yeah.
That's fine.
There's something to be said for being transparent so that everyone understands why we do what we do as a business owner.
Well, and if you're in the dark, your insecurities take over. And so like if your employees are in the dark about how much money the company is or isn't making, then they will naturally gravitate towards assuming the company is just making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
And if the company does $120,000 in revenue 1 month, they think the owner put $120,000 in their pocket. And if the company does $100,000 in revenue 1 month, they think the owner put $100,000 in their pocket.
Yeah.
And that's couldn't be further from the truth. And so like in our business, the way that our overhead is structured and the way our gross profit is structured and everything else, like our guys know that on an average month, if we don't clear $4,000 in a day, we lost money that day.
Yeah.
Our monthly expenses divided by the business days in the month comes out to about $4,000.
Yeah, your break even is $4,000 a month.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, $4,000 a day. And aren't you $100,000 a month?
Right at about $100,000.
Really close.
Yeah.
Depending on how many working days there are in that month. Yeah.
And so I think our break even is actually like $4,300 or something like that.
Oh, is it that high?
But you know, because I'm transparent and I go over the profit and loss statement with them all the time, I know that. Now, the very first profit and loss.
They know that.
Well, now they do, right?
Yeah.
But I was nervous as hell the first time I did a P&L meeting with my guys.
Were you really?
Because nobody ever did that to me growing up. And I spent my whole whole career thinking the owners are just making money hand over fist.
You know, it's so weird. I don't know if I've ever seen you actually nervous.
I hide it well. But
you're just lying.
Yeah, that's like that depression statement that says just because they carry it well doesn't mean the load's not heavy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Some of us are better at carrying those loads than others.
Yeah. I just tell everyone, I'm freaking out, man, and I will stab you if you say fucking one more thing.
But like the first P&L meeting, I'm like, they're going to find out how much I make and all this stuff. And I'm like, wait, why do I care? Like, they should know how much I make.
Yeah.
I make $100,000 a year.
I know how much they make.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my guys actually make more than me, some of them. And so like,
well,
great.
If they want.
Yeah.
If they want to.
If they want to, they can. Yeah. And so now we do all these P&L meetings and, you know, like we lost like $6,000 in January as a company. And so
it was all Mitch's fault. Everyone.
They're able to look at the P&L and see like, oh, dang, that sucks. I mean, I made money. I made good money and I thought we were doing good. Well, we didn't do good enough. February, we lost like $1,000.
Jesus.
And, in
March, we fucking killed it.
Now, March, we made 19 grand.
Yeah.
In March, right?
Yeah.
Net profit.
That's why we tell guys, you know, sometimes it's better just look at your quarter.
Well.
Because sometimes you just have a bad month.
Right. And so I go over the March P&L and they're like, yeah, that's awesome. That's great. Like, do we get bonuses for that or whatever?
You're like 19 minus 6 minus 1.
I said now.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Let's go to Q1 and we've made like $12,000 for the entire year.
Yeah.
Hey, all of this motion.
Yeah. Hey, guys, and we're going to need new trucks and tires.
Yeah.
And all of these other expenses are coming out.
Yeah.
We know they're coming.
Yep.
So we're going to take this money and we're going to set it over here so that when you fuckers screw up in May.
Yep.
And we're down, we have money to cover it.
Well, and
you know,
like
or
I told
windshield
them,
or what, you know, whatever.
Like I told them, one job goes south and now we have to eat thousands of dollars in expenses.
You jinxed yourself because now you got one job that's gone to fucking hell in a handbasket.
It's always going to go south though.
There's always one. You're right.
And if you're not failing jobs often enough, you're not trying hard enough, right? It's kind of
you're not trying new stuff often enough.
Yeah.
You're not pushing the limits.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a buddy of mine that has a Lambo. He's got a lot of high-end cars. He's got a Hennessy F-150, single cab, short bed F-150.
I thought you said high-end cars.
Okay.
It's a Ford F-150. It's not a fucking high-end car.
I might
care.
Be having a bad day, but at least I don't have Ford keys in my pocket.
That's right. No, dude, it's not nice. The Lambo, yes.
He's also got a
I wouldn't say that
Lamborghini
about my Chevy.
Yaris, I think. What's
Ooh,
the
nice.
What's the SUV? I think it's a Yaris.
It's a Yaris.
Yeah.
Y-A-R-I-S?
U-R-U-S, I think. I don't know. But he's got some high-end cars. His Lambo's twin-turboed and all this kind of stuff, right? So he goes out to all these car events with it, and he had an opportunity to go do some racing with it. And he crashed it at the race.
Bummer.
And all these people are trolling on him and clowning on him and everything else. And
dude, that's why you have it, is to push it.
Right.
And
he was like, yeah, it sucks. Like, I'll find out how expensive it is. But, you know, that's just part of it.
It's
and
insured.
I made a comment on it. And, they don't work on insurance. Usually doesn't cover you on a racetrack.
If you have racetrack insurance, it does.
Yeah. Turns out he did $100,000 in damage to it when he crashed it.
Sell that stupid F-150. You got it covered.
But I just made a comment on there. I'm like, when you're on a racetrack, the goal is to push the limits. How do you know if you're near the limits unless you blow past them every now and then?
Yeah.
Right? So like when I was motorcycle racing.
Yeah. You've put a couple down.
I've crashed four times.
I wrecked one of yours at 30 miles an hour.
I crashed four times.
Was it that many?
Three on the racetrack.
I was just thinking it was a couple.
No, three on the race. One of them, I don't know how fast I was going. It wasn't horribly fast. But three of them were on the racetrack. And of the three that were on the racetrack, twice were at 80 and once was at 100.
Okay, it's not horrible.
It's not horrible.
It's still dangerous as shit.
Yeah, and crashing on a racetrack.
You've got slide outs. It's different.
Two out of the three times, it was relatively minor. Replacing foot pegs and handlebars, and that's it.
Yeah.
One out of the three times, it completely destroyed the motorcycle.
Yeah, I remember that one.
It went end over end. It seemed like it never quit.
Yeah.
It was just
27
perpetual
somersaults.
Perpetual motion.
Yeah. Once it starts that over, it's...
Yeah. And in the heat of the moment, you're emotional about it and you're pissed. But you have to sit back and realize, like, I didn't go to the racetrack to drive the same speeds that I do on the street. I went to the racetrack to accelerate harder, brake harder, and lean over farther than I ever have before.
Exactly.
How do I know how far this thing can lean over unless I go, oop, I guess it can't go that far.
Well, it's like Janine and I in the 68, like when we first had it, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's a four speed, right? I'm trying to teach her. She knows kind of how to drive a stick. I'm like, hey, let's go out. You know, we drove it a lot those first 2 months. I drove it a lot. She's like, man, are you sure this car can handle that? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's new. We got to figure out.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you driving this and it's not able to handle it, like, when I'm not here with you. Because I bought it for her. It's her fucking car, right?
Right.
I'm driving the shit out of that thing and she's over there. Yeah. Are you sure? Are you sure? I'm like, babe, we got to figure it out. We got to know, like, does it need this work, that work? Whatever. Does a carburetor, once it gets over so many RPMs, does it fall on its face? Like, the only way to know is to fucking test this thing. Like, do I want to push it? No, I'd like it to be shiny and all that kind of stuff and be nice, but this ain't a trailer car.
Right.
We have this to drive it and experience it and have fun with it.
Right, right.
Got to know its limits.
Like race car teams especially, it's a matter of triaging the unknown every time you go on a race.
Yeah.
You know, they drive 4 or 5 miles or 400 or 500 miles to a race, and they get there and the car won't start. Or they start it and it's making a funny noise. And now they're going through the pits. You know, they're being challenged. They're being brave enough to suck at something new, right? I've never had to replace rocker arms in the pit lanes, but we're doing it now.
We're doing it now, bitch.
Right. So 2 weekends ago when we went to that concert down in South Missouri, that concert was part of a circuit called Bulls, Bands, and Barrels. So they had a rodeo before the concert, and they did barrel racing. And these ladies...
Barrel racing's cool to watch.
Boy,
dude.
That is. It's.
Had you ever seen it before?
I've never seen it in person.
Dude, it's crazy.
Man, it's cool.
They get it.
I didn't realize you lost points for knocking over the barrel. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Dude, those girls, can you... The thighs on those girls?
Oh, I know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I wouldn't want my head in between them.
Yes, I do. But, if I'm going to die...
Pop my head like a melon.
That might be the place to die.
But some of these horses would freak out.
Yeah, they will.
And Danielle was raised around horses, so she was telling me, like, watch. I can't remember what she said exactly. There's a right-hand turn or a left-hand turn that the horse... Most horses naturally want to go one way, but they don't want to go the other way.
Yeah.
And so these horses would come out of the chutes, and you pick which barrel you want to go around first, the left or the right barrel.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to... Like, the pattern is left, right, far, and then back, right? Or right, left, far, and then back. And... so your first barrel that you go, like if you're going on the right-hand barrel, you're doing a right-hand turn, then a left-hand turn, and then you're going to finish with a right-hand turn.
Yeah. They're
right?
opposites. Yeah.
Right. Same way, left-hand turn, right.
Yeah.
And so she was like, they'll know the strength of their horse and the horse is going to turn one way better than the other. And so that's what determines, cause I asked her like,
yeah, two,
some races are going to the right and some races are going to the left. And she explained that. And she said, but the weird thing about horses, because they're so high strung, like
they can be,
they want to fucking run,
especially
right?
running horses.
And, and she was like, every once in a while they get something up their ass and they will not go the other way. And so sure enough, these horses would come out, they'd make the first turn and then they would just fucking space off and they'd like start jumping and bucking, or they'd just go in all kinds of random directions. And that's it. They get one opportunity.
Yeah.
One
Yeah.
Shot. Not. I'm not trying to be Mr. Eminem here.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Mom
That's
spaghetti.
Great.
Vomit on a sweater already. But they get one shot, one opportunity.
I love you.
And
it's crazy.
You know, these people, like one person came from Virginia to Southern Missouri and their horse went bonkers.
Yeah.
And they just had to go load it back up. And I'm like, can you imagine? Like, so a horse trailer pulling truck. Is $75,000 plus.
Oh, yeah. They spent $1,000 to go there.
A trailer is probably 75 grand. Yeah. If it's got living quarters in it, it could be up to 200 grand.
Just driving there and back is $1,000.
That horse ain't cheap.
No, they're expensive.
I mean, so you're rolling down the highway with $500,000 under your steering wheel.
Yeah.
And your horse decides it wants to go have an attitude.
Fuck you.
And
take me home, bitch.
And now you're going home empty handed.
Dude,
you know?
You've met my mother-in-law, right?
Uh-huh.
What if I told you that back in the day she raced barrel horses?
Oh, that'd be cool.
Would you have ever... I didn't know this until like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Never would have thought it in a million years.
Yeah, that's cool.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, we're sitting at dinner one night just eating pot roast. I don't know what we were eating down there at the lake, just having dinner. And they're like, yeah, oh, yeah, we went to this bell race. And they started talking this. I was like, whoa.
Hold on.
You raced horses?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. They all look at me like I'm a fucking retard. Yeah. I'm like, I didn't know.
I didn't know.
You know? Holy
Horse
shit.
Horse racing isn't on the
never,
typical.
Never would have guessed in 100 years
yeah.
that she raced barrel horses.
But like, you know, there's examples of this everywhere where the guys that are successful are the ones that are brave enough to suck at something new. And usually that's the biggest hurdle with anybody as they're getting out into business and getting their feet underneath them, is they're afraid to suck at something new. And this manifests in a couple of different ways. One is they'll just flat out say, like, that's scary, I've never done that. The other is they come up with excuses to resist it. Well, my customers won't pay that. Well, my guys are different. Well, my situation's different.
And no, they're not.
I can tell you this. People are the same. Situations are the same. Business is the same. Yeah. Each business is different, true, but the same principles and the same theories apply. There are laws to business that if you break those laws, you're going to fail.
We all act like there's this huge disparity in the human culture. There's right. not.
No.
There's not.
Not at all.
I mean, there are some areas where there is a huge disparity.
Yep.
But when we're talking about generalities, there is not.
Nothing.
A lot of us are very similar.
Yeah.
In the way we handle situations, the way we handle, you know, family, work, employees, money, all of those things are very similar. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about like being able to, you know, overtake challenges and things like that, like Tradewinds for us. And I shouldn't say for us, for me.
Uh-huh.
Like, when we started putting Tradewinds together, Mitch is telling me, hey, you know, I'd like the website to be this. We're having these meetings. We're doing all this stuff. And I'm just, in the back of my mind, I don't know if I've ever said this to you. At the back of my mind at the time, I'm thinking there is no fucking way that I can learn all of these new aspects of the way we're going to process credit cards and the way we're going to be able to integrate that into the website and how all of those things are going to work together, because I had no fucking clue how any of that stuff was going to work together.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I'm not 100% sure you did either.
Right.
You know, when we were like, okay, well, we're going to get my brother, he's going to help us with the website, and we're going to see what happens.
Yep.
And it took months and months and months and hours of development to try to figure out how all of that stuff was going to work together. And it wasn't necessarily just the, I'm going to take on a new challenge, but it was, how are we financially going to overcome spending the money to do it?
Right.
But did either one of us at any time be like, I can't do it because I'm scared that it's not going to work?
Right.
No.
Well, and so many people are like,
put yourself out there and be like, I'm going to challenge myself and take on all of these new challenges, and I'm not going to give up on it.
Right. And so like the way that I would try to get people to recognize this is there are some challenges in life that you don't choose. They just come your way.
Yeah.
Right.
DW is probably that.
And if you're listening to this show, there's not a challenge out there that's killed you yet. Right.
Yeah. You're still breathing, dog.
Right. And so like, this kind of goes around to like the only time it's ultimate failure is like when you quit, when you give up
or die.
But like, we've made it through surprise challenges and we've learned and grown from it. And then, so like, if you can go back through your like mental history of all the surprise challenges you were thrown, wife crashed the car when money was tight. Now you had to figure that out, right? Kid needs a band instrument when money's tight. Now you got to figure out how to pay for that, right? Call volume is too crazy and you need to hire somebody, but either you can't afford them or you can't find good people to hire. Now you got to figure that out. Like, there's a lot of challenges that just come our way.
You know, and I think people remember the great times because they were great times and they're at the forefront of their mind. Mm-hmm. And bad times, once they get past them, they tend to bury those because it sucked. And then they don't realize that they overcame those challenges, and those challenges were just as many as the successes.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? But because we've chosen to forgot that bad part of our life, we don't realize everything we gained from it.
Right. And so that's what, like, if you take a minute and pause and look at all the challenges you were given, like take parenting, for example, Very few people are ready to be a parent, right? That's usually kind of a surprise thing.
It doesn't matter if you think you're ready and plan for a kid and have a kid and you're like, yes, we've been working on this for 5 years. That kid comes, it is nothing like you fucking thought it was going to be.
Right. Absolutely
Holy
nothing.
Holy shit.
Right. You go your first time going 3 days with no sleep and you're like, how do the people fucking do this? But they do it. And
you figure it the fuck out.
Part of it is a testament to the resilience of people. But also there's a lot of non-chosen challenges that we win from and we're better because of it, right? Raising kids is probably one of the bigger challenges that a person can have. And if you do it right, you're a better person because of it.
Well, and it's one of the more successful challenges that you have to take on.
Yeah, one of the more rewarding, for sure. Yeah,
rewarding. That's what I meant. Yeah, you're 100% right, man.
And so, like, if you can go back and look at all of those and be like, well, I made it through those all right. And look how much of a better person I am because of that.
Yeah.
Well, now.
Or stronger person.
Now you can be like, okay, cool. Well, if those challenges made me stronger, let's go choose to take on challenges. And so, guys will do this in a couple of different ways. Maybe they take on a hobby that's a challenge. RC car racing, right? I don't know anything about RC cars, but
it might be cool to do though.
I would embrace the challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we get a Tradewinds car? I don't know.
but like wake surfing. I didn't know how to do that. It's fairly mild.
I still don't know how.
Right.
I couldn't get up the last time we went, but I fucking tried.
Alcohol may have had a factor in that. But
maybe you're right.
You know, there's a lot of things that we do where we can go challenge ourselves for the better. And I think as you grow and mature as an adult, you start selecting hobbies that are challenging in areas that are new for you.
Yeah.
I've got two friends that got into mountain biking and they're both.
You used to be in a mountain.
I know. But they're both business owners. They both have kids. The last thing they need to do is crash on a mountain bike. So I'm sure they're not pushing themselves that hard. Yeah. They're not sending it off 15-foot drops or anything.
Or getting extra insurance, whatever.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
but, you know, they're challenging themselves with that. I've challenged myself with road cycling. I've challenged myself with motorcycle racing, like all of these things. And part of it is the thrill, but part of the thrill is the challenge, right?
Yeah. 100%, man.
So now that I've kind of gotten into the boat thing, I see a lot of boat-related challenges. And it's basically like either surfing contests or wakeboarding contests to where you're challenging yourself against somebody else, or maybe it's a speedboat thing, and they want to get this certain class of boat to go faster than anybody's ever done it before. Well, that's a challenge. And yes, it takes, like on the boating thing especially, it takes gobs of money to do it, but...
Yeah, on the boat, it does.
It takes a lot more than just money, right?
It takes hours and hours and hours of education.
Right. I'm surprised we haven't talked about it on the show. You saw the powerboat that flipped in Lake Havasu.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
During the desert, what they call it?
I don't know. Did those guys die?
No.
They live?
They're okay, from Kansas City.
Oh, are they really?
They live in Odessa, in Oak Grove, in Bates City.
So I saw it, but I don't know what like led to it. I don't know if it was... Was it bad trim? Was it a wind gust? Was it come out of the water just a little bit?
So most of these power boats are 47 feet long.
Yeah.
47 to 49 feet. The shortest ones are typically like 45 feet. And the ones that hold all the big records are Mystic hulls. It's a catamaran style hull made by a company called Mystic.
Yeah.
And the Mystic hull can go like 250 miles an hour.
Catamaran is, for those that don't know, is two.
Yeah, it's got
in
two
the
hulls.
Water, and then the center is up off of the water.
Yeah, and it's kind of shaped like a wing, so it's going to give it a little bit of lift at speed.
Yeah. And so it creates less drag in the water because some of the boat is out of the water.
Yeah. And I may be a little mistaken here, but I know some of the details with this. The guys are trying to do, they're trying to beat all the big boys with a 38-foot skater hull. And
so it doesn't carry as much weight.
So it's got them beat on the power to weight ratio.
And on the front, because the motor's the same in the back. So on the front is lighter.
Right.
Well, that makes sense why it flipped.
And so, with length, you gain leverage to stay on the water and you get too short and that boat's going to flip over backwards. And so they crashed in Lake Havasu.
That thing took off.
Like
a missile.
It crashed at 209 miles an hour. It flipped all the way around so fast that it caught a second gust of wind and went higher. It was as high as the chopper was in the air.
I don't know. How high was that? 50 feet?
50 or 60 feet high.
Oh, okay. That's a long ways.
They won the event.
Oh, did they break the record before it took off?
No, they broke the, they won the event, breaking the record in the air, upside down and backwards, crossing the finish line at 201 miles an hour, not even touching the water.
Bitch.
Yeah. And they broke the boat. I mean, they,
oh, it's total.
It's
destroyed.
It's got 2 4,000 horsepower engines in it. And they got dislodged from the hull. Like,
yeah, they're lucky they ain't dead.
They are very lucky. Luckily, the way the boat landed, it hit the tips of the tunes first.
Yeah.
And that scrubbed off. And catching that second gust of wind floating through the air slowed it down a ton. And so that's all cool. But like those guys,
I wouldn't say all cool, but yes, it saved their ass.
Those guys are pushing the boundaries and doing, like, you want to talk about being brave enough to suck at something new. They're going out there on a boat that's like 10 feet shorter than the competition, that has just as much power as the competition. The odds are stacked against them, and they're having to find solutions for all of this. Well, how do we keep the boat on the water? How do we, you know, all these things?
Well, it's like any form of greatness. First astronauts died.
Right.
Trying to go to space. You know, some of the first astronauts. The Wright brothers, like, they didn't die, but they
telling
were...
Telling me we almost lost Katy Perry?
Fuck that bitch.
I loved Wendy's post. Can she stay there?
I miss when Katy Perry was hot and didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. Can we go back to that? Mm-hmm. Like, but you know, there's, you know, the people that, you know, were trying to go down in those self-made submarines and explore things that no one else could see.
Yeah.
Like, they're taking risks. The greatest achievements in human history have lost life.
Yeah.
Because they're the pasteurizing milk.
Right.
Like, how many people died the first time they did that? I think it was like 60 or 70.
And
those are the only ways to reach greatness. Now, we're not saying you have to like go out on the edge and kill yourself or mortgage your home or anything like that, but don't be afraid to try.
Don't be afraid to have that tough conversation with your guy.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to raise your rates and charge a commendable rate. Don't be afraid to try a new advertising adventure and risk $1,000 on it.
Don't be afraid to go out on your own. What's the worst thing that's going to happen? You got to go back to work. We're all fucking working.
I mean, while like, the show was going on, that text I got with that picture, that equipment ain't cheap. And it's ruined.
It's fucked.
It's destroyed.
Thank God we aren't partners in that.
And so, like, that's a challenge, right? But now we know a way that it won't work. We know a method that it won't operate it. And nobody's ever tried it in that. I reached out to a bunch of people. And they were like, well, I've never done that, but let me know how it goes.
Yeah. And I wish I would have thought about the directional, but we talked about it earlier.
Yeah.
We used to use directional boring for the last part of the HDPE pipe where we would like do geo changeouts.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have thought. Now, well, I
wouldn't
say
do
that
it in this case because there's too much plumbing under the slab. Like, I don't know what I'm boring through.
You locate everything first.
Yeah, some of it you can't locate.
Yes, you can. But that being said, you probably wouldn't have done it. It wouldn't have mattered.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But still, were they afraid? Or are you afraid to say, fuck it, let's do it?
No, yeah, I would have done it.
No, totally. Let's do it. Let's fucking get after it.
And I mean, there's, you know, some of these guys are like, I'm just going to like spitball a lot of the simple challenges that are getting guys tripped up. And these may be Tradewinds examples. These may be people that have reached out trying to get a little bit of free advice before Tradewinds or whatever. They'll be like, well, I don't know how I can afford to stock my van with $15,000 in inventory. And meanwhile, I'm on the other side of it going, I don't know how you can afford not to. Like, how can you afford to make that many trips to the supply house every job?
Yeah. You know, gas and time cost money, right? Like, that shit ain't free.
Yeah. I've got some business owner friends of mine where they're partners together and she is afraid to advertise and he wants to advertise and they need to advertise. And so I worked with him on how to present the finances in a way to where it's like,
to undermine his wife. Nice. Good for you.
Well, it's not,
it's not a podcast. It's funny, Mitch.
It's not undermining if everybody wins, right? If the business does better because of it,
you know what? That's a topic for another
day.
That's
a leadership thing
next week.
Yeah. But, you know, like there are people that are willing to die so that they can take a 38-foot skater boat hull faster than it's ever gone before.
Yeah. And you know, the prize money wasn't worth the loss.
They made about $27,000. Donated all of it to charity.
After they crashed the boat? So they didn't make 27.
Right. They won $27,000 or something along
those lines.
They donated
that to charity. And
they donated every penny of it to charity.
So they actually lost $150,000?
I would imagine.
I don't know what that boat even cost.
I would imagine they've got some pretty good sponsors. In like Skater, for example. Like,
yeah,
they've taken a Skater hole faster than anybody ever has before. And so Like I'm willing to bet Skater's probably fixing the hole for free, and they're going to be like, go do it again.
They're not going to fix it for free. They're going to be like, hey, we're going to melt this to the ground, and we'll just give you another one.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. Like, we'll just give you another one.
But you know, there are people out there that are willing to risk their life for space, and they're willing to risk their life for submarines, and risk their life for pasteurization.
Yeah.
And here it's like, I don't know if I can turn my hourly rate from 175 to 200. I think it's going to be like,
First off, if you're at 175 or 200, you're not making any money. So yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a long way to go there.
350 is the minimum. Okay.
Yeah.
Damn it.
But there's a lot of times where we put challenges in our way just because we're obstinate about it. And it's like, no, like once you understand that challenges are the key to success, go find challenges, go find ways to break the system.
Obstinate. That was a good word.
Yeah.
That was good.
You know, go buy, I don't know what that unit cost, $1,800 probably. Go buy an $1,800 tool and fuck it up on day one.
Yeah.
Ruin it.
Yeah.
Like you're going to have to buy another $1,800 tool. But you'll probably ruin that one after a few hours too.
Oh my God.
But ultimately your biggest growth advantage is going to come from identifying challenges, and instead of running from them, run to them. You know, bison are an interesting animal. When thunderstorms come, bison are one of the only animals that actually walk in the direction of the thunderstorm, because they know that if I start walking in that direction, that's going to be the first ground to clear up from the storm.
So if I had no idea that was true.
Yeah. And so you go out to Yellowstone, where bison are unrestricted for miles and miles and miles and miles.
Which is fantastic.
And when thunderstorms pop up, they'll find all the bison starting to walk straight to the storm. And they just keep walking in that direction as the storm passes. And here they are on the other side of the storm, already weathered it. And meanwhile, all these other animals that are running the other way are prolonging their time in the storm.
Yeah.
You can't outrun a thunderstorm.
Oh, it started raining. I'm going to start walking in the opposite direction. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Now it's raining on you for three times as long. Right. I'd never thought about that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And so, like, you know, Mother Nature gives us those opportunities all the time to, like, walk straight into challenge and don't run from it, because you're just prolonging the agony. And, if you got to face a challenge anyway, you may as well get it over with fast and get the learning as you can.
If there was a great definition for procrastination, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A great definition for not to do it, because it actually extends your time in
That's
right?
what I'm saying.
Like, how many times have we all procrastinated about something? Well, we spent longer procrastinating than it actually took to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't we just do it?
Dude, I get this from my mother. My mom would put shit off for fucking months. And I just naturally, like, it was in my blood. That's what I did. That's what I grew up. And then after, I don't know, 25, 28, something like that, I was like,
right.
Why am I wearing this stress for this entire time instead of just, nope.
Yeah.
When it comes up, I'm going to do it. I'm going to move on. And then guess what? After that, I'm free.
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck I want.
We'll wrap the show up with this. That thing that's making you anxious, that thing that's giving you anxiety, is the thing you need to do.
True statement.
Most of the time, that thing you're like, the results you want are on the other side of that work you're avoiding. And
it's a natural human instinct to do that for some reason.
Right.
It really is.
Right. I mean, when a thunderstorm's coming your way, you don't think, I'm going to walk that direction. Right. You think, I need to go find shelter. I need to go this way or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking walking into a damn tornado.
Yeah. Don't be a dipshit.
But
guys.
like walk into the thunderstorm, go walk into the storm. And you'll realize real quick that it ain't that bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's wet, it's loud, a little windy, a couple of hail stones.
Yeah.
But you're gonna get some lumps and you're gonna get through it.
Yeah. Your buddy gets pulled over, gets a MIP, you have to walk 4 miles in the fucking thunderstorm, you get home and it's over.
Yeah. That's
another story for another day.
That's a true story, actually. I wasn't the one walking, thankfully.
I was the one walking.
I was the one wearing steel bracelets.
That's true. So, if I could choose, I would have taken the walk in the rain.
I did. I tell my kids that story and they're like, you've been to jail. I was like, no.
More than once.
I was in a holding facility for like 4 hours. That's not jail.
I don't even think it was 4 hours, dude.
I'm talking like
total
time.
Yeah. Like I walked, what do you think that was? 2 miles?
Two and a half miles.
It's probably 2 miles. I walked home in the rain, thunderstorm.
Yeah.
2 miles, got the car, went and got you.
Yep.
And maybe 2 hours.
Yeah.
You were there.
Not long.
And then we went and got something to eat.
Yeah. I was brave enough to suck at something new that day. I sucked at breathalyzers.
I would say you sucked at lying.
To those listening, I was 19 and I got pulled over and my blood alcohol content was 0.01.
Yeah.
Which at that time, the legal limit was 0.1. So I was 10 times under the legal limit, but because I had alcohol in my system and I was underage, they gave me what they call a zero tolerance violation.
It was probably one beer. It was probably one beer.
One. Yep.
30 minutes before.
Yep. So, oh well.
Another Mitch story.
But that's going to wrap it up for this show. Guys, if you have a problem that's being challenging to you and you don't know how to solve it, and you aren't just wanting to talk about the problem, you're actually looking for a solution, all of our contact info is down in the description of this show. Shoot us an email, and we would love to help you solve your problems. So until next week, guys, we will see you later.